Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krein, and on today's episode, we're going to sit down with Paul Dyer, the president of analytics and insights at W2O Group, a leading marketing firm that works with digital health companies. This is going to be a great episode.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage.
Welcome back. We're here with Paul Dyer, the president of analytics and insights at W2O Group. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So fascinated by what you do and why you even do what you do, because I think many people don't think about data and insights and analytics as part of their marketing strategy, but you're a division of a marketing agency. So what do you do every day?
What we do every day. So a lot of things, but oftentimes it revolves around looking at the interactions between different audiences online, the way that people talk to one another, the things that they like, the things they share, the things they follow, the words that they use, the networks that they form, and then pulling out of that insight into how do we better reach them, right? What are their needs? What are their gaps? What are the things they're passionate about? And then we take insight out of that and use that to form the ideas for how we're going to reach them more effectively. And it works, obviously, in a big, broad advertising sense, in some cases working with the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, as well as in a B2B context where you've got a very small group of people that you're trying to reach and you just need to better understand what motivates them.
Sure. So if I'm an entrepreneur listening to this, I'm thinking, that's cool, big companies use it. I'm a startup. I'm building something early stage. I really will focus on that down the road. Should I care early in the development of my business about this?
I would say early in the development is probably when it's most important to get the insight, because that's when you can actually impact the roadmap of the commercial offering in addition to just the marketing of the offering. And the more that you understand about your audience early on, the more effectively you can meet their needs instead of just trying to differentiate on marketing later.
All right, so give me, let's dig in a little bit, because
I
love entrepreneurial hacks of how an entrepreneur can think about how this might change their perspective of even how they're doing early stage customer development.
Sure. So examples would be things like if you are trying to reach a hospital administrator, and you know, we can find now 1,000 examples of real hospital administrators who are self-identified online, who have built personal networks, that are publishing thought leadership, that are sharing one another's content, that are showing up at conferences and engaging with the people who are speaking at the podium. And we can say, here are the things that they seem to share the most. Here are the things that they clearly are excited about. You know what, when they're not just hospital administrators, they're also people. And on average, they over-index against Gen Pop in things like golfing or other interests that they may have.
Explain what Gen Pop is.
Gen Pop is the general population.
Gotcha. Of course.
They over-index against general people in their passion for a specific sport.
What does over-indexing mean?
It means that if the general population, if 5 in 100 people are passionate about golf, it could be that among hospital administrators, it's 12 among 100. So they're over-indexing against our expected value.
Okay. And are you using that information to just tell the? Would you tell an entrepreneur that, or help an entrepreneur figure that out? And then is it go engage with them the way they are? Because lots of entrepreneurs think about the very simple, straight, direct way, which is I need an introduction. I just want to call that, email that, or.
But entrepreneurs also have very small sales teams.
Yeah.
Right. And so those sales teams need the most qualified leads they can possibly get. And so that's where the marketing function really comes in, with that qualification of those leads up front. And if our inbound efforts, where we're getting people to come to the website or reach out proactively to the company, are doing their job, then we're getting the right people to reach out, right? So that means that the content that we write should have the exact words that our target audience actually uses when they write online. Right, it should be something that's being linked to from the top influencers that they follow.
Sure. So if we were talking 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and I was to describe the way this marketplace works today, or should say the way the market works today, it's almost like a free peek about what's how people are talking.
It's a much more specific peek.
Right?
Yeah. In the past, you know, there were always ways of getting at this through traditional research. You would do focus groups.
But entrepreneurs didn't. Startups didn't, right? So for an entrepreneur, it's almost a dream come true, right?
Well,
transparency.
If you're working with, in particular, like VCs and things like that, I mean, they're going to expect you to do some market testing, right? And the traditional way of doing that would be, you know, you follow people and see how they wander through a CVS and what they pick up and what they buy, or you literally put them in a room behind the glass and you do the focus group. And it's a very limited view. Today, we can go online and see across thousands of people what it is that they're doing on a regular basis.
Okay. So what's the 15-minute hack here? So an entrepreneur's listening to this and they're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I never thought about that. What would you tell them to do?
So first things first, I would say identify some of the luminaries in the space and then see who follows them, right? So it's probably the people who are speaking at conferences, right? It's probably the people who are using the right hashtags, whatever your specific area is. And, you know, follower counts and things like that matter. They're certainly not everything, right? But things like that. So you find the people that are kind of luminaries in the space, and then who's retweeting them, who's favoriting them, who seems to be part of that network, right, where they're engaging with one another. And you can very easily create lists of these people and just listen to them. It's literally about listening to them and use the words that they use, right? Read the media that they link to. If they're sharing media from a specific website, you should read that website, right? Align yourself with your audience.
Okay. And are you recommending engaging at that point, or are you saying sit back and watch? So I'm thinking about steps. So listen.
Yeah. Listen first.
And how long are you recommending listening?
I guess it depends on how much you have to come up to speed.
Okay.
In some cases, you find that the entrepreneurs themselves are actually a part of that network already, right? In which case, they're usually pretty up to speed. And it's more about just getting the teams that work for them the precision they need of these are the exact words to use and those kinds of things. In other cases, you've got more mercenary, right? So entrepreneurs oftentimes fall into either missionary or mercenary as a bucket. They're either on a mission or they see an opportunity. If they're more mercenary, they may not be all that familiar with the space, in which case using online listening tools is probably the quickest and easiest way to really get deep into it.
What tools do you like?
Sysomos is a great partner of ours. It's a social listening tool. There are other freely available ones. They get bought up every week, it seems like. So, I don't know what the best one is to recommend right now. But if you literally just go into Google and look for social listening, you'll find lots of tools that you can use.
Okay. So if listening's one piece, let's talk about engagement. What does engagement look like with them?
So engagement is oftentimes best done according to what we call the 1-9-90 rule, right?
Which means
the 1-9-90 rule. It means that in pretty much any topic area, there's 1% of people that create the content, 9% share whatever those people created, 90% kind of lurk and learn, right? So if you have a Twitter account but you don't ever actually post anything, you're probably lurking and learning, right? So when it comes to engagement, the 1% is where you start, right? Identify the top 20, 30, sometimes 50 people that are really driving that category, mm-hmm. and start soft, right? Retweet them, favorite them, and then eventually reach out. Be like, hey, I'm the CEO of a company that is, you know, in this space. I'd love to just get your thoughts on what we're working on.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not pitching, you're asking.
Yeah, of course, sure. Right? And you bring them in, you make them part of whatever it is that, you know, whatever mission it is that you're on. Meet them in person at conferences and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then the leverage you get out of the people with the online footprint is going to be obviously more significant than people that don't.
What mistakes do people make? So I can imagine that people come in like a bull in a china shop, right? So what mistakes do you see being made so that we can then understand making sure that the entrepreneurs don't jump in too quickly or that do the wrong thing?
I think there's a website called the Bad Pitch Blog. That's where most mistakes are.
What's your favorite one on there?
Yeah, I don't know if I can even narrow down to a single one from that blog, but there are a lot of people that will come in with the full court, you know, press. They believe very passionately in their product and what their pitch is. They don't take the time to really understand what matters or what resonates to the person they're reaching out to. And frankly, they usually have short-term incentives. So instead of looking at like a long-term relationship, they try and pitch something right up front. And long-term doesn't mean you have to wait a year, right, to talk about your product.
Yeah.
But it does mean that you need to make a a concerted effort to be what we would refer to as benevolent, right? So that means you just show an interest in what those people care about. You share their content online. You introduce them to somebody. You say, you might be interested in this person. Or you ask their opinion. I'd like your opinion on this before you then approach them with the pitch, right?
Do you see entrepreneurs approaching it wrong all the time, or do you think is it?
Oftentimes, entrepreneurs, I feel like, get away with it even if they approach it wrong, because mm-hmm. people sort of understand where they're coming from and that they're passionate with their product. The sins are committed by their teams, because they don't have the same leeway, right?
So it's interesting, right? So the entrepreneur oftentimes was one of those people, right? Because mm-hmm. that's where sometimes they come up with the idea, but their teams aren't.
Exactly.
So you're talking really about effective coaching and communication with your team about that.
Well, and the entrepreneur needs to stay involved with it, right? So you can't just hire a PR person right. and expect their...
So that's a mistake that's made.
Yeah, you need to be involved. You're the one they want to talk to. So I have seen a lot of entrepreneurs in particular, if they have had a bad experience in the past. So they've had a negative news article written about them. They've had a blogger who took issue with them for some reason in the past, will be a little more head in the sand about it, right? Mm-hmm. To avoid being engaged. And that's equally bad.
Right. Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
Negative
sure.
Stuff. So people are talking negatively either about your company, about you, about the category, about solutions. Maybe there's kind of just this negative energy lurking. Either directly or indirectly. What's your recommendation? How do you think about, is it go in and get involved or stay out and, you know, watch?
So a good friend of mine is in the social analytics team at Coca-Cola, and he has what he calls the CTFD index, which I can't say all out loud, but it means calm the F down. First thing to do is to figure out, does it matter? Right, negative blog post runs, we see this all the time. There's like a single blog article that's you know, coming out against the company, and the next thing you know, it's emailed to every person involved. Everybody's in a panic. Nobody's even bothered to analyze, does this person have any reach whatsoever? Does their opinion hold any sway? So that's the first thing, right?
Yeah,
do
yeah.
some analysis, figure out if it matters.
Yeah.
Afterwards, if it does matter, what you'll find is that other people are starting to either share that specific article, or they're starting to repeat the themes that were expressed in mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Now is when you really need to figure out a different way in that's probably going to be what we might refer to as a bank shot, right? So you find other influencers who also have a point of view in this space, are also influential in this space, but who, based on what they've written in the past, will align with you, and you reach out and you just say, you know, not necessarily that I want to co-opt you,
right,
but get them to kind of raise the positive share voice.
How often is it a non-event? How often is it, you know, is it really more often than not?
It's usually a non-event, especially in the modern day. I mean, news cycles are less than 24 hours,
right?
I mean, it's like most of these things will move on. If it becomes something where it is becoming a theme, where people clearly are starting to believe something or change the way they feel about something, now is when you need to actually engage influencers to change that. There's two other things there. One, every now and then, if you're the entrepreneur, it's effective to just reach out directly to the antagonist and just talk to him head on. Would not do it online, but I would offer to have a one-on-one conversation with them, take it offline, and see if sometimes they'll come around, right? Sometimes they're missing information.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that they are necessarily, their post is misinformed. Oftentimes we'll find that people believe that opinions are misinformation. Opinion is opinion, right? But sometimes it's good to go out and, you know, one-on-one, talk to them offline. Other times we have what we call is the solution to pollution is dilution, right?
What's the acronym for that one?
There's no acronym, but if there's pollution, right, people are polluting the conversation, they're talking too much about the negatives, they're not focusing on the positive aspects of something, you just need to raise the positive share voice,
mm-hmm.
right? You need to get more people talking about it. And oftentimes, there's plenty of people who believe in the product, who believe in the value proposition, who are existing customers, who are on board, they're just not saying anything about it. So you just need to get out, ask them to share, promote the things that they're talking about, right? Get back out and, you know, tell the positive side of things.
Gotcha. So go back a little bit to, you spend half your time doing healthcare, half your time not. how do you feel about where we're headed with the transformation of healthcare, digital health, and why are you even passionate about working and spending time there? Because I know that's one of the reasons you joined W2O Group, but I think it's interesting that you joined because it's focused on healthcare.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when I joined over 6 years ago, and that was at that time very early for our space. In particular, it was social media was pretty nascent, right?
Yeah.
And before that, I'd spent most of my time working with consumer brands. And one of the brands I spent the most time with beforehand was Coors Light, and lots of fun stuff.
The healthcare brand.
Giving away Super Bowl tickets
sure.
and, you know, things like that. At the end of the day, it's you're not really changing the world, so to speak, right? You're not even changing the lives of anybody except for the guy that won the Super Bowl tickets, right? And what Jim Weiss sort of pitched me was that this work could actually matter in healthcare, because in many cases, there are patient populations that they don't have anybody in their life that understands what they're going through. The first example I worked in was cystic fibrosis. You know, terrible disease, has an enormous toll on the patient population, but a very small group of people, right, who are affected by it. And so their families don't always understand what they're going through. Their friends don't understand. They don't necessarily have a support group where they're based. So they turn to the internet and they look online for people who are going through similar things. And worldwide, there's only a very small number of organizations that can help these people,
mm-hmm.
right? And when we're working with an organization like that, we can literally just go look at, here's what they're asking for, here's where they need support, here are the problems they're having, right?
It's all
and
sitting out
you
there.
Can literally yeah. bring those two things together. So that's why the work is incredibly meaningful. I would say the biggest issue we have with healthcare is that it's slow. Right, and in particular, when you're working in the more heavily regulated, you know, drugs, devices, diagnostics, it's just very difficult to innovate and, you know, to move quickly, and so the patients lose their patience, right, waiting on the manufacturers, and
yeah.
it's because they're regulated, and there's lots of reasons for that, but.
That's what the entrepreneurs are working to fix. I think a lot of what is inspiring this next generation of entrepreneurs built in digital health companies is the opportunity to do this at an accelerated pace and really, you know, disrupt in a way that, you know, it's one of the only industries, you know, that has not been transformed by the internet in the same way that every other one has. I think education probably in healthcare. Well, this has been great. I mean, I would love to know what are the two or three top places you go online to read for your own professional view of what you do, because I'm going back to the hack, right? What are
yeah.
What are those two or three sites you check out or blogs you read?
So Mashable is an easy one. I think Mashable is actually fantastic content. I think the rather than saying there's an evergreen website to go to, it's following the events. So South by Southwest, CES.
I'm talking
more
specifically about what you do with analytics and data. Mm-hmm. So what would the entrepreneurs to get smart on this?
Specifically analytics and insights. The problem is that most of my information comes from clients. So I'm with clients like three times a week.
Right.
So that's where it all gets filtered through. I don't know about a single publication that I direct people to. It really is each of the conferences they have tracks that are specific to analytics and insights.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just track the hashtags, you'll get that content coming through from the conferences. So that would be where I would start.
Fantastic. Well, Paul, I really appreciate you spending time here. I know I try to get a bunch of free advice for the entrepreneurs listening to the program from you, because I think it's interesting when entrepreneurs oftentimes think about this whole area, a lot of them, unfortunately, kind of park it off either as something for much bigger companies or something that they think they know. And what's fascinating about the moment we're living in is it's all transparent, it's all sitting there if you just do a little bit of work. And it doesn't cost a lot of money. I know it costs money to hire a firm like yours, but it doesn't cost money to kind of dig in and get started. So thank you for spending the time. Appreciate what you do and look forward to having you back on a future episode.
Thank you.
Thanks.